When you think about God, he could have destroyed the nation and started over again. But what did he do? Look at the character of God. Why? Because this impacts your life where you live today. God graciously spared them. He spared them. In his mercy, I love this, God didn't give them what they deserved. Come on, somebody. God didn't give them. And in his grace, he gave them what they didn't deserve. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio and our Hope Restored series, our verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. Now, so far, we've seen the greatness of God, and we've reflected on the goodness of God. As the people look back over Israel's history, they saw a pattern repeated over and over again. God remained faithful, even when his people were not. Today, we conclude this remarkable prayer with Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 31 through 38, in the message titled, The Grace of God. After recounting centuries of rebellion, the prayer arrives at an incredible conclusion. Instead of saying, God gave us what we deserved, the people declare that God did not make an end of them. Nevertheless, in your great mercies, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. That single verse captures the heartbeat of God's grace. Israel deserved judgment, yet God extended mercy. They deserved abandonment, yet God remained faithful. They deserved condemnation, yet God continued pursuing them. The people finally stopped blaming everyone else. They acknowledge God's righteousness and confess that their suffering is the result of their own disobedience. Then they make a renewed covenant, committing themselves to walk with the Lord. Grace doesn't excuse sin. It calls us back from it. God's grace is his undeserved favor toward undeserving people. His mercy gives us another opportunity to return to him. And true repentance doesn't minimize sin, nor does it question God's goodness. It agrees with God about both. Grace meets us when we honestly confess and humbly return. Have you been carrying guilt that God has already offered to forgive you? Or are you willing to receive his grace and begin walking in obedience again? If you can, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 31 through 38. In today's lesson, The Grace of God. Here's Pastor Ben.
And turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9 is where we are at. If you recall, we talked about the goodness of God, through prayer and just really reading this prayer that Nehemiah writes about. And you've got to understand that. And so we're just blessed to have the word of God, but we've talked about the goodness of God. Well, tonight we're going to cover the grace of God, and we won't really scratch it because the grace of God is so deep. But this is the grace of God, even though the children of Israel have turned their back on God time after time after time. And the problem is it sounds a lot like us. We're walking, we're fired up, and then we backslide. And this is a lot what the children of Israel are going to do. But we're going to see the grace of God tonight. So give me just a really good amen if you're ready to go in Nehemiah chapter 9.
Amen.
Amen. Church, I always like to start our Bible studies, but I want to start it off the same way I always do. But this is with a statement. I want you to listen to the statement. Listen with the ears of your heart. Here's a statement. And it says, God was good to his people when his people were not good to him. He sent them prophets to teach them, to warn them, but the nation refused to listen. Now, again, let me say this again, guys, because I want it to seep in. I want you to feel the weight of the statement as we start our Bible study this evening. God was good to his people, and everybody goes, amen, when his people were not good to him. And he sent them prophets to teach them and to warn them, but the nation, we're talking about Israel, refused to listen. Now, remember, let me just go back and what we've learned so far in Nehemiah chapter 9. At Calvary Chapel, we're just going to tackle the scripture verse by verse by verse and get a good feel for the book. And so we need to go back. What we need to remember is it was all of chapter 9 is a prayer. All of chapter 9 is a prayer, and what we learn from this is that he was merciful to forgive them when they cried out for help. And he was long-suffering with them as they repeatedly rebelled against his word. You go, what are you talking about? Guys, it just parallels our lives sometimes. When you think about the book of Judges, we often call the book of Judges the sin cycle, not the spin cycle, but the sin cycle, because Israel would just want to go out and sin. They'd want to do the things their way. They kind of felt like, hey, we're pretty good with God. Things are going real well. And they'd find themselves drifting off to sin. And then judgment would come, because God is so merciful and he's just, that they would cry out to God. God would come and rescue them, and they would repeat the whole cycle over again. This is kind of what's happening here. And so we learned that God is, and these are great attributes to the God we serve, is that he's often merciful to forgive them when they cried out for help. And if God is the same yesterday and today and forever, then he's merciful to us when we cry out for help. And he's also long-suffering. He's very patient. Sometimes I feel like God isn't patient. Sometimes I feel like he's ready to knock me down with that spiritual billy club. You mess up one more time. And that's not God. God is, he's long-suffering. Even though the children of Israel repeatedly rebelled against his word. When you think about God, he could have destroyed the nation and started over again. That's not too hard for him to do. But what did he do? Look at the character of God. Why? Because this impacts your life where you live today. God graciously spared them. He spared them. In his mercy, I love this, God didn't give them what they deserved. Come on, somebody. God didn't give them. And in his grace, he gave them what they didn't deserve. So you got to catch this now. It's a difference between grace and mercy. You go, what do you mean? In mercy, God didn't give them what they deserved. Come on, that's us. God doesn't give us what we deserve. And in his grace, he gave them what they didn't deserve, eternal life. And so we see the grace of God so beautifully played out here in the book of Nehemiah. We see how merciful he is. We see how loving he is. And we're not that way. Right away, we want to retaliate. Right away, you know what? Judgment. Hey, man, we want justice. And that's not God, even though the children of Israel do the very same things that we do. Now, as we continue to study the history of Nehemiah, think about that. He was a cupbearer to the king. He was also known as a man who desired to make a difference for the glory of God. And I think there's some great application there for us. Why? Because if people go, oh, well, I'm not in ministry, Pastor. I'm not in ministry. I don't know. No. Think about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was doing a great job where he was, and yet he still had a desire to make a difference for the glory of God. And I think that's the same in every one of our lives. Every job that we do, whatever it might be, whether you're retired or you go to work every day or you go to school every day, you can continue to do that and still want to make a difference for the glory of God. This is a man like Nehemiah. And what I love about Nehemiah is Nehemiah had a heart of compassion. And a heart of compassion compelled him to action. He didn't just go, oh, woe is me. I'm so sad. I'm sorry. Well, that's up to them. Let's go. Where's the food? Where's the wine? That's not Nehemiah. And I often think, as we study the book of Nehemiah, I often think of times where God's people had faced so much turmoil, yet they had God's grace and mercy upon them, even as he restored them time and time and time again. And if you're taking note, I think it's a beautiful illustration that our God is so patient with us. Our God is so loving with us. And we can see it in scripture. As the Levites prayed, remember, they acknowledged the sins of the nation and God's justice in sending their punishment. Look at verse 33 with me real quick, and then we'll double back. Nehemiah writes in chapter 9, verse 33, however, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully. Now, I want you to see this, but we have done wickedly. If you're an underliner, I want you to underline the word we. This is what he's saying. This is where the Levites, they're praying this prayer, and here's their prayer. However, you, capital U, God, you are just in all that has befallen. You are just in everything that you've done to us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. You go, Ben, give it to me another way. Well, think about this. This is their confession. He said, every time you punished us, you were being just. We have sinned greatly, and you gave us what we deserve. Well, Ben, why do you want me to circle the word for we? Because the Levites in their prayer, guys, is use the pronoun. They use the pronoun we and not they. And not they. It's easy to look and blame. Oh, well, they. Well, they, you. Yeah. No, we're collectively. And when we pray to the Lord, we say, Lord, we as a nation, the United States of America, we have sinned against you. And you go, well, I haven't. I've lived a good. We collectively have sinned against you. Why? As they prayed, they identified with the nation and they acknowledged their own guilt. See, Nehemiah had prayed the same way at the beginning of the book. Lord, we've sinned against you. And so for the last few weeks, we've studied that Levites had acknowledged God's greatness. We saw that. We see that they've acknowledged God's goodness. And now, on the basis of his grace, they ask him for a new beginning for the nation. This is their wrap. This is the final few verses of this prayer. They couldn't change servitude they were in, but they could surrender the sins greatly to the master and seek his help. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. So with that as an intro, let's jump into our text. Here's what we're going to do. Let's read, guys. We'll read verses 31 through 38, and then we'll just kind of come back and break it down. Read with me. Nehemiah chapter 9, 31 through 38 says, nevertheless, your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. For you are God, gracious and merciful. Verse 32. Now, therefore, our God, the great and mighty and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us. Our kings and our princesses, our priests and our prophets, our fathers and all the people, from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. However, he says, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor our princesses, our priests nor our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments, nor your testimonies, which you have testified against them. Verse 35, for they have not served you in their kingdom, or in many good things that you have gave them, or in the large and rich lands which you have set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Here are servants today. Here we are, servants today. And the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants in it. And it yields much increase to the kings that you have set over us. Because of your sins, they also have dominion over our bodies and our cattle. At their pleasure, we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make sure a covenant in writing. Our leaders, our Levites, our priests seal it. And that is the end of the prayer. But let's go back and let's break it down. Think about the prayer. Think about, we don't have time to go through all of the prayer, but go back this week and picking it up in like verse 4 or 5, you can see, blessed be your glorious name. This is just an amazing prayer in chapter 9. But now we come to the very end, the grace of God. But I want you to see, go back to verse 31 with me. So super cool and super neat. It says this, nevertheless, your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. Here's what I want you to see. The praise team, if you will, sings out again in verse 31. You go, well, what did they sing? What was their worship song? Can you imagine the lyrics on the back of the screen? Nevertheless, in your great mercy, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. And then we have to ask why. Why would you say this? He says, for you are God, gracious and merciful. I want you to feel the weight of what's happening here in the grace of God. Because when you think about it, here's what they're saying. Lord, you are so great in your mercy, in your mercy. And again, think about this. In mercy, not getting what we deserve. That's God's mercy. Not getting what we deserve. And grace is getting something we don't deserve. And so again, I mean, it's kind of like, wow. I just think about this and I'm like, God didn't give us what we deserve. And in his grace, he gave them what they didn't deserve. Let me see if I can just illustrate this just a little bit so you've got a good feeling. If I am going home after church and I decide to take Loop 289 and I want to get home as fast as I can, and one of Lubbock's finest sees me and decides, pulls me over. Cop walks up to the car, says hello, and I right away say, hey, I'm sorry. I just finished church, right? That reminds me of another story. Because I looked at Soph and he smiled, and it reminded me of the story when, were you driving? Pastor Soph was driving, and we had just got back from it. I'm going to use this story because it really is. Pastor Soph was driving, and we had come back from Midland. We had just come back from Fort Lauderdale. We had a great time, and we had to fly out of Midland. And so we're driving back. It's night, and we're just driving. We're talking. We're having a good time. Well, somewhere between here and La Mesa, we got pulled over. And of course, Pastor Soph and I say, we're pastors and we just came from, you know, Fort Lauderdale and all this stuff. And the cop was really gracious and he gave us a warning. And so the point is he didn't give us what we deserved, which we were speeding. We should have gotten a ticket. But he laughed at us because I don't know how many times people drop that. Well, I'm a minister, or I'm a pastor, or I'm a whatever it might be. And they just kind of go, yeah. But had he given us a ticket, and then, right? Because his grace is he gave them what they didn't deserve. Had he given us a ticket and they said, okay, don't worry about this. I'll pay it for you. And it was just like, wow. So the cop had mercy on us. It was such a great time, but I'll never forget that. And I know when I was talking about that illustration, Soph looked at us, but that's grace and mercy. Church, let me be serious for just a moment. Let's never forget who we really are and where we really came from. And I'm not talking living in that area of like my past. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about just remembering just how good God is and how sometimes when we get really, we just walk in with God for a long time. We've been walking with God a year, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Sometimes we forget. We sometimes feel like we're doing everything right. And I just want to remember that I am a sinner saved by grace. And I'm a beggar just trying to tell people where to buy bread. And the reason that God saved me is because of who he is, not because of who I am. It wasn't like God's team was getting really thin. And he's like, okay, well, I got to pick you. So, I don't have much pastors going down, so I need it. That's not what it was at all. He just did that. I just want to remember the mercy of God in our lives. Never presume upon the grace of God, but just remember his mercy. So the praise team here in verse 31, they sing out, guys, they're singing out. And God, just think about this, our Elohim, our Heavenly Father, he doesn't treat his people like they deserve. And that's a good thing because he's a great and mighty and awesome God. But because he's a God of grace and he's so good to his people, even when they're not good to him. In his mercy, God gave them what they deserved. And in his grace, he gave them what they didn't deserve. And so they cry out. Think about this prayer. Nevertheless, here's what they're saying. In your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them. For you are God, gracious and merciful. Now, I want you to take note of this verse. And you go, why is that? because we see that the spin cycle here continued throughout Israel's history. And they would get deeper and deeper and deeper. And yet, in his grace, we discover that he doesn't change. He doesn't change. They say, "You are God, gracious and merciful." Now, I started to think about them, and I started to think about the children of Israel. I started to think about the prayer. We're a little bit more than almost done with Nehemiah, just a couple more verses. But I started to think, I bet that there are times when we behave and we feel like Israel does right here. Like, we feel like we cannot ask him to forgive us of our sins over and over and over and over again. This is what the children of Israel do. They repent, cry out to God, God comes and saves them, and then they sin again. And then it's the same thing, it's the same thing, it's the same thing. And again, think about what's happening. We oftentimes feel that same way. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take heart on this. You go, why? Because I want you to write this down somewhere. It's so prominent and so powerful. God never gets tired of us, and he never turns away a repentant heart. I think Christians, at times, we put a level on people that is not a real expectation. And God's like, I didn't put that on you. And he just says, come on, we're walking through this. We're walking through this. Here's my heart, guys, and I would pray that this would be a heart for our church. We would love people wherever they're at. And people are just trying to do the best they can. They're trying to get where they're just walking with Jesus. And nobody's doing it perfect. We're just a bunch of misfits that really need to encourage each other in our walks. Come on. Come on. Keep going. I'll tell you why, if I can use Elizabeth as an example. Elizabeth, the enemy is wanting you to stumble and fumble in your walk. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get you shelved. He wants to get you all of this stuff. And as you grow, you can see even more and more. But the enemy goes, no, 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 no. The enemy looks at Pastor Soph and Yvonne and goes, oh, okay, let me see if I can get in between them. Let me see if I can stumble them a little bit. The enemy looks at Ron and Gloria and says, okay, here's what I need to do. And he pulls his fiery and everybody's at a different walk. But the goal is that we need to come and go, man, everybody's walking. Everybody's trying. We will just continue to walk with people and lift them up and see them through the finish line. I'm a brand new believer. Amen. I've been walking with Jesus 20 years. Amen. We just got to love people. This is the heart of God. Why? Because when I come to God, he doesn't get tired of me. He doesn't say, Ben, listen, you've been asking for forgiveness. Come on, man. It's like, Lord. Now, let me say this. If we ever get into that cycle where it's like, I know I'm sinning, and then it's like, okay, once I'm done, Lord, forgive me. And then I do it again the next night and said, Lord, forgive me. And I do it again the next night and said, Lord, forgive me. And I do it again. That's not what God's talking about. He's talking about a heart that's repentant. It's a heart that's broken. And you guys know, because when sin happens, there's something in you that goes, oh man, I need to be right. I need to be right. I'm so sorry. And the struggle is that you don't want to sin. You don't want to do this. And somehow it pulls you in for a minute. You're just like, oh. In
Christ. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.